What's up, y'all? It's Jadenae here, and welcome back to my channel. Before we get into what today's video is about, please stop what you're doing and subscribe to my channel. And if you're new here, go and check out some of my other videos. Look at the other content. Like what you like. Ignore what you don't like. And subscribe, okay? And also, if you don't mind, go ahead and follow me at Jadenae1 on Instagram. I'll put my name right here. And, you know, we'll connect from there. Okay? Okay. So, y'all, it's been a crazy 10 days. Or 11 days, I think. I am literally recovering from seeing the outpour of support and love from a lot of y'all. I would say like 97% of you all, 95% of you all are like super supportive. Like, y'all have been very encouraging in my comments and just even going as far as like sending me emails, following me on Instagram and commenting on things, just like showing me love, you know what I mean? And I am very, very grateful, like very thankful. Like, I love y'all. And to the ones who've been like defending me in the comments, because some people have come on and said some ridiculous things. This is how I know a lot of y'all don't watch at least a good amount of the video before you comment. It's like you see something and choose to leave a comment without really gaining knowledge of what the content is about. The title of the video was I Am Not a Man, which was more so PSA on behalf of a lot of women in general, but especially women of color, because a lot of y'all have stated that y'all can relate. It was a PSA on the behalf of those of us who have struggled to be given, you know, safe spaces, who have struggled with like feeling protected, feeling safe enough to even be feminine, you know what I mean? Or just struggling to be feminine. It had nothing to do with me thinking that somebody thought I was a man. It was literally about how people treat me, you know, like they either dismiss or deny my femininity and, you know, choose to have whatever type of interaction they want to have instead of treating me like a woman. So that's what that was about. And so, you know, some people came on there like, you ain't no man. I'm like, I know I'm not a man, but just watch the video. You'll understand where I'm coming from. And also, I wanted to pinpoint, because some people even said, like, you need to go to therapy, you don't know, sharing. I feel like God wants me to share my story, which is why I'm even on here. I wouldn't be on YouTube if I didn't feel like I was being led by God to be here. If anything, I like sharing other people's stories and not mine. I shared a lot of my story with my therapist, which is why I'm even bold enough to share with the public. So I've been to therapy. Yeah, I've been a counselor. I'm degreed, I have experience, so I know what will reach my audience. So some of y'all don't belong in my audience, and that's okay. That's all right if you don't belong in my audience, if I'm not called to you. I'm not looking for any assignments or anybody who I'm not called to, because that's more of a burden than anything. So thank you to the people who are a part of my audience, people who are supportive, people who are like okay with me being vulnerable and who feel safe enough to be vulnerable as well, because people have been sharing their experiences in the comments. And I also, again, wanted to note, like I said in the last video, that I have forgiven my family members. I have. And it wasn't everybody, but I've forgiven my family members. Me and my mother are great. In fact, she's going to join me on one of my videos, and we're going to talk about a lot of what we've spoken about on our podcast, Wounds from the Womb. And I'll put the link to that that podcast in this description. But we're going to talk about our relationship, and she's going to share a little bit about her relationship with her mother. Yeah, me and my daddy are good. Like, no relationship is perfect. Can you imagine becoming a mother at 19 or becoming a father at 21 and having to learn how to parent without having the proper guidance? Like, I feel like I would struggle, but I think they did a great job considering the things that were missed. I think I turned out well. My sister turned out well, considering what was missed, what we experienced and all of that. So I'm grateful for my parents, for my loved ones. It's just that some things happened that left a scar, and I'm still healing. And, you know, my prayer is that those of you who have been watching me, those of you who follow me, I pray that you have a similar experience to me as far as the healing journey is concerned. It's not cute, but it's impactful, it's effective, and it's beneficial. You know what I mean? Like, we all deserve to heal. We all deserve to know ourselves in a healed way. So yeah, thank y'all so much for watching. Thank y'all for following me. Thank y'all for the support. Okay? All right. So today's video is called "That Time I Tried to Lose My Virginity." Story time. Y'all. So as y'all know, if you've been watching, you know that I'm a virgin. You know, at this point, I'm waiting till marriage. You know, I'm following God on that. It just is what it is. However, because I have not always been close to God, I haven't always wanted to wait till marriage. I ain't even wanted to get married prior to getting saved in 2016. I was more so focused on instant gratification. So getting whatever I wanted to get and keeping it for myself until I didn't want it no more. And that was just me. Like, oh, I'm going to get this job. So I can just make money on the side, not have kids, have boyfriends, because I don't want commitment. Like, I didn't want to commit to anything. But, you know, as I matured, I was just like, yo, if you're going to get an associate's, you can go ahead and get that bachelor's too. If you're going to get a bachelor's, you might as well get a master's. Like, it just kept going. But that was after. I was like, God, you got me, right? But before that, I was just like, I want what I want. And so summer 2015 was a summer to remember, honey. And when y'all meet my cousin April, when I put her on here, y'all gonna hear more about our activities, our adventures from that summer and a lot of other summers. But this summer in particular, I was committed to getting me either a boyfriend or a couple, or just little booze or whatever, and trying to do something, you know. I believe it was in May of 2015 where I was just like, you know what, I'm gonna do what I want to do. So let me see who I could talk to. So I was just on some creep squad type stuff where I'm just like looking at pictures that like male friends will post with their friends, and I was just be like looking at the tags like, okay, this dude fine, let me add him. So a couple of them actually did add me back, and two or three of them participated in conversation with me. So we were just talking and talking and talking. I started a conversation with, was it three of them? In May. Yeah, around May, it was about three of them who I consistently talked to. One was a friend of my uncle. One was a friend I went to elementary school with. And another was my mother's friend's son. So, you know, I went back to Chicago in May, like toward the middle of May. Summer break started. And so, you know, I'm just like, well, I don't want to be playing pen pal, so I'm going to talk to these guys in person. So I met the friend's son. We're going to call him Brandon. I met Brandon at my mama's friend's birthday party. And we had, you know, a little nice casual conversation. And from there, like, we would hang out here and there. I would drive to Chicago Heights, and because guess who was the only one who had a car out of all these people? I drove to Chicago Heights and we kicked it, but I always had somebody with me, so it wasn't on, no, like, I'm about to come spend the night. But I was trying to build something with him. I think he was my favorite, but I was trying to build something with him. And then the other guy was, we're gonna call him Chris. Chris was my elementary school friend's friend, and we hung out at his friend's house. I brought somebody with me that day too, because again, I don't know y'all like that, so I gotta play it safe. So I met him while I was with a friend, and then the last one was my uncle's friend. I never met him in person. And then further down the line, I met a friend of my cousin. We're gonna call him Deshaun. And he was the main one who was like, yeah, me and you gonna do something. So I was just like, I would say I was just doing the most. Like, I wouldn't necessarily call that dating because there weren't any dates. Like, it was just a lot of kicking it outside or in my car or on somebody's porch or in somebody's house. Because I was like 19 at that point, turning 20, and the other guys were too. So like, wasn't nobody working with no real money for real. So we was just like kicking it the cheap way. So the first dude who I just knew, like, okay, we gonna make this happen. I'm gonna make this happen. I'm not gonna play any games with this. That was, what did I call him? Chris? I think it was Chris. I don't remember what, Brandon was from. Okay, Chris. The day I just knew I was gonna do something with Chris was a day a few of us decided to hang out at Chris's friend's house. And we were all drinking Hennessy and eating wings. And out of nowhere, Chris was just like, oh, let me show you something in my house. And I'm just like, okay, I'll go with you. So we go into Chris's house, and Chris starts showing me some of his music and some of the stuff he's been working on and all of that. So I'm just impressed. And in real life, I wasn't, but I was just like, oh my God, you know, trying to encourage him, like, man, you snapping out here, like, you ain't music, I could sing. Like, it was, you know, I'm trying to make him feel special. So eventually we start kissing. He decided to lay back and was like, come lay with me. And we kissed some more. And he was just like, you know, without actually saying it, trying to push, you know, us. And I'm just like, this ain't it. So I faked an emergency. I left. My friend was still across the street. I'm like, hey, come on, friend. She was hanging out with Chris's friend, and I'm like, let's go. So we end up leaving, and I'm just like, yeah, I couldn't even do it, G. And she's like, what? Like, I would have, you know how people be, you better than me. But we end up like rushing home, because at this point it was like 5 or 6 o'clock. I dropped her off, got pulled over, and then I went home. So I'm just in my head like, dang, G, like, you were so serious about doing this and you just chickened out. But hey, things work out the way they're supposed to, because now he got like 6 kids. But I think I locked down in my mind that because it happened at that point, that it's just, there was no way I was going to put any more effort into it happening eventually. And so I let that go. On the flip side, I'm talking to Brandon, my mama's friend's son, and I'm just like, it's quite possible that he could become my little boo. So we, like I said before, hung out. I went to Chicago Heights. I always had friends with me. But I said in my head, if we go on a date and we start being together, I'm definitely going to do it with this dude. However, a lot of stuff just ended up going left with him. So I'm like, okay, God. Now I'm looking back like, okay, God. But back then I'm just like, come on now. Like, what do I need to do to make him choose me? 19-year-old Jayana. What do I got to do to make him choose me? What do I have to do to make him, like, commit? What do I have to do to make him commit? Like I said, things kept going left and stuff started coming out. I realized he had some mommy issues. And they would come out in just the way he would respond to encouragement, affection sometimes. Like, being rejected. Like, he would take certain things as rejection. Like, it was just like clear as day, like, okay, you got some trauma. But it wasn't stuff I could look past. I don't know if another woman would have been like, oh, let me nurse you back to health. But I couldn't do it. I'm just like, I don't want to have to keep explaining to you what I mean when I say something. So I'm like, I don't know. Then he was lying about certain girls. I'm like, mm-mm. Then, like, not to shame nobody, but he couldn't spell either. So me being somebody who's big on grammar, like, I got turned off. And so that coupled with everything else, I was just like, this probably ain't gonna happen either. And then he eventually end up, like, what's the word, launching his relationship with his with the girl he's been with. I didn't know about her, but yeah. So I'm like, okay, that's not happening. So disappointment. And then the last guy who I met through my cousin Deshaun, when we all hung out, me, Deshaun, my cousin, and her guy, we, the first time we hung out, we had a great time. Again, drinking, kicking it outside, at the park, talking stuff, all of the people who we know in the neighborhood walking past, like, what's up, y'all? You know, we was having a grand time. But then the second night we hung out, Deshaun decided he wanted to pull the mean thing on me. I don't know why some guys do this, where they, like, I'ma act like I'm mean or act like I don't like you, even though I was just on your heels last time. So I was just being nice to him. I'm just like, I don't know if what he got going on, but, like, I'm not about to look too much into it. I'm just gonna talk. So I was talking and saying stuff, and he just, like, got an attitude. He telling me to turn my music down in my car. And I'm like, I'm not turning my music down in my car, but you can feel free to walk. You know, like, you can't tell me what to do. I don't care who you are. I sat next to him on the couch. Him, like, can you move over? I'm like, and me back then, you don't have too many chances to be acting crazy. So I'm just like, you know what? You can sit here in this living room by yourself. I'ma go and sit by myself somewhere else and call a friend and talk and laugh. But eventually he ended up, like, coming around and trying to turn whatever that dynamic was into something sexual. Like, you go from being extremely mean to now wanting to canoodle. Like, in what way am I supposed to be turned on by you being sassy right now? Like, so I ended up telling him he had to go home. And guess who had to drop him off? So that didn't happen. So that's July of 2016. I mean, July of 2015. So from May to July of 2015, I was, like, going in between these three different dudes who I'm just, like, hanging out with. You know, here and there, like, having consistent conversation with, and, you know, having them type of conversation with, like, what you trying to do type thing. And it was clear what they wanted. And I was trying to, like, meet them halfway, but nothing ever felt right. Nothing ever felt right. Like, not even just the simple fact of me not being in a relationship with any of them. It was also just, like, things I valued were missing from each situation. Like, only one out of the three of them had a job. Only one out of the three of them knew how to spell. Like, nobody really had ambition outside of, and of course we young, but where I was at that point, which was working, had an internship, was in college, was most likely gonna go to grad school, had a car, you know, in my head I'm like, the person I want to be with for real, who I would feel safe enough to, like, even cross that line with, he would either have to be on the same page as me or, like, even further along. My logic kept, like, knocking on the door, like, bro, a lot of stuff you like, a lot of stuff you admire, things that impress you are missing from these situations, and you, like, trying to make fetch happen. You're literally trying to make fetch happen. And you know, once you jump into that, it's going to be hard to get out. And you're going to be mad at yourself. And so I had to put the physical desire to the side and really, really hone in on, like, what is my logic telling me right now? Do you actually feel at peace about any of this? And I pondered on that, and I pondered on how disappointed I was that none of these situations panned out to be what I thought they would. And so that's how, you know, those situations ended up, like, the doors closed on those situations, but I was still dealing with, like, the disappointment, because I'm just like, yo, like, I want a relationship, but I also want to, like, experience, because everybody around me was hucking and bucking, and I'm just like, there's no way I can be 20 at this point missing out on what everybody else is enjoying so much. So then one day early August, my mama asked me to go to church with her. Now, typically, the answer would have been no, because I was party city that whole summer. I was never at home. I went to church on Sundays to socialize, Wednesdays for rehearsal, Tuesdays for part of Bible study. Like, but I wasn't a dedicated member anywhere, and I did not go to any church services for the fun of it. So typically the answer would have been no, but this day I said yes. And then my mama said, you can ride with me. Typically the answer would be no, because the streets opened up at 10 o'clock in Chicago, and her church services used to be long. So I'm like, I need to be able to dip out when things start to, you know, go that way, when it start to get high in the service. So I'm like, you know, should I ride with her? I end up riding with her, and I go to church with her, and service is great. You know, I had never experienced that type of service where there was worship, like, people were deep in worship. The prophetic activity in that place, people were receiving prophetic words left and right, declarations, like, intercession was a priority, like, we were praying down, like, even I was praying, you know. And, you know, I was just like, wow, okay, like, this wasn't bad. So then church is over, so I'm ready to go now, because I'm like, I can still hit this party, like, I still have time to get there. But my mama wasn't moving. We're standing in the lobby just looking around. I'm like, Ma, why you ain't moving? Like, why you not ready to go? And she's like, I don't know why I'm still standing here. So then her pastor, who's my pastor now, walks out of the sanctuary and looks at me and says, he says my mama's name and says, who is this woman? And my mama say, that's my daughter. So he said, come here. So I walk over to him. And he gives me a prophetic word, one that I had never, I was overwhelmed. Like, nobody had ever come to me on that type of time. Nobody had ever given me a prophetic word, ever. So the simple fact that he was able to communicate God's thoughts toward me, I was blown away. Because number one, I didn't even know God talked. Let's start there. I didn't even know God talked. So I'm just like, God speaking to you about me. And I knew it was accurate. I knew it was real because he was accurate. Like, he was saying, you know, the experiences you've had, the disappointments you've experienced in this past summer, like, a lot of those occur because God is trying to protect you. Like, had any of those worked out, you would be taking care of a grown kid right now. Those men. He talked about the friend group I had at that point. He talked about my career aspirations, me wanting to be a CEO, having my own company. He talked about me being on the fence, like, do I believe or do I not believe? And the importance of, like, truly choosing to submit to God. Because that will be the thing that will ultimately transform my life the way I desire. I was blown away, man. I promise I was. I didn't even go to the party. I didn't even go to the party. We went and got something to eat and went home. I'm like, I'm not going nowhere. I ended up hitting my friend up, telling her about the prophetic word. She was like, dang, he really read you fulfilled. I'm like, yeah, he did. He did. And because of this, I now want to explore Christianity. I now want to explore a relationship with God. Because right now, I feel like everything I'm chasing, this was August of 2015. At that point, I felt like I was chasing something that would never feel right, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, I was trying to be out here, but would I really have been, like, happy? Or would I just be going with the motion? You know what I'm saying? Would I always be dissatisfied but still pursuing that thing that I wanted to satisfy me? Like, would I have been going with the wind? You know what I mean? Just doing anything, wandering aimlessly. Like, so what, at that point, the question was, what would benefit me more? Like, continuing on this path or giving God a shot? Which one? And it just so happened that my curiosity got the best of me. Because then I started studying the Bible. And then I started praying. And the more I prayed, the more I studied, the more revelation I would get about me and God. Like, this is his character. This is how he shows up for me. This is what I can do to submit. This is what I can do to be better. You know what I mean? I was wrong in some things. I had to unlearn things. I had to relearn things. I had to, you know, God had to clear a lot up for me because I had witnessed religion, but not necessarily relationship. And so from that point on, I was just like desperately trying to go deeper in my faith and my walk with Christ. And then I got back to school and my whole perspective was different. I went from trying to be turn up queen, trying to be booed up, to now trying to understand God more, trying to understand my call more. What does it mean to be apostolic? What does it mean to be prophetic? What does it mean to be an intercessor? What do my dreams mean? What does it mean to go through deliverance? You know, like, what does all of these things mean? And then I got saved. And then I joined a choir. And then I started, like, praying for people and prophesying to people. And I just kept going deeper and deeper and deeper. And that pursuit ultimately led me to this point. So, like, in my opinion, I'm still kind of fresh in the game. It's been 8 years of me being saved. But I still feel like I just get to this point. I feel like I'm still a baby in Christ. Like, because there's gonna always be more to learn. Like, there will always be more to learn. You'll never hit that point of knowing everything. But clearly I have a great history with God, and it's only gonna get better. But that zeal I had back then was everything. It was everything. And I'm glad the experience I had at that point happened when it did, because I feel like I would be in a very, very dark space right now, but I wouldn't even know it. Like, I will be truly enjoying walking and operating in my flesh at all times, kicking it, hucking and bucking, being drunk all the time, being high, all that. Not even knowing that I'm dying on the inside, you know? So I am so grateful that I went through what I went through. I'm very grateful for the disappointments I experienced summer 2015. When I was trying to lose my virginity, when I was trying my darndest to get me a man so I can have sex with him and do whatever I want to do and not think about the consequences. I'm glad I got disappointed because that led me to have an encounter with God that transformed my life. Yeah. So that is my story time. I hope that whoever's watching is inspired. I hope you are encouraged enough to continue on in your walk with Christ or to pursue a walk with Christ. Like, it really is life-changing. It really is. Some stuff you won't have to experience because you're in God's will. Some stuff you will experience, but you'll eventually see why, because God won't leave you in the dark. He'll help you understand why you're experiencing what you're experiencing, because he's a righteous God. He's a just God. He is compassionate, you know, so he won't leave you in the dark. That's not how he rolls. So I hope, if you haven't given God a chance, if you haven't given your life to Christ or joined a church or even visited a church, like, give it a shot, honey, because I am truly an example of what it means to be out here doing whatever you want to do or trying to, but seeing that life in him is much better, you know? So, yeah, I hope this blessed you. Thank you all so much for watching. Again, thank you for the support. I hope you're having a beautiful day. I hope you continue to have a beautiful day. All right? Love y'all. Bye.